Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 5 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. God, speak to us. We want to know you. We want to hear you. We want to experience you in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Okay, so what Paul is talking about here is again, we're still referencing spiritual gifts. He has been talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, about how to apply and how to use spiritual gifts in the life of the church. And he's taken aside from referencing some of the spiritual gifts before he goes into being more detailed about prophecy and tongues. And he's taking a break right in the middle of that to say that if you do any of these things without love, if love is not the guiding principle by which you operate in all of these things, it's of no value, completely no value. And this is coming from Paul, the one who is telling the church in Corinth, to overcome the problems you have, you need to seek the Holy Spirit for all of these. But if you do, make sure that your heart is consumed with love for God and love for one another. It'll be of no value. So then what he moves on to here in this passage is he's going to speak about the temporary nature of all of these gifts. And the reason they're temporary, the reason they won't last forever, is because the Lord has chosen partnership with us on this earth. There's coming a day where we will walk with him again, just like Adam did in the garden. We will see him face to face. Like Paul's saying here, we will know God fully. We will know fully as we are fully known. We will be in his presence. But until then, the Lord has chosen partnership with us to express who he is. He wants us now to be his hands and feet, as people say. The Lord has tasked us with spreading the gospel, with doing the work of discipleship. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that he was going away, but it's better that he goes away so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would come and dwell within us. Something about having the Holy Spirit in us is better right now than having God with us. The Lord has chosen this partnership, and it's one of the great mysteries of the universe. Why has God chosen to partner with us? I mean, all of us, we look around at us and we say, you made a mistake here, God. This is nuts. You don't want to partner with us. We're really good at messing this up. We make a mess of things. Certainly you were thinking of someone else when you decided to do this in partnership. No, the Lord is looking at us and he wants to partner with us. And so when the Lord uses prophecy, most often that happens through other people. When the gospel is shared, most often that is shared through other people. Now, you know, if you haven't heard of this, then I would encourage you to look into it. But I mean, there are tons of stories of Muslims in North Africa having dreams where Jesus appears to them in a dream and says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting, basically. And they get saved, you know, so the Lord can share the gospel with people. I mean, he did it to Paul. The Lord can do that, but most often he chooses partnership through us. So every one of these gifts is the Holy Spirit operating in us and through us for the sake of someone else. All of these things are not so much for our own edification. We'll get into some finer details of that in chapter 14, but most of this is to edify and to build up other people. So everything about what Paul's talking about is spiritual gifts expressed in the life of the church. And when I say the life of the church, I don't mean inside the walls of a church building. I mean the ones that are called saints operating in these gifts. You can operate in them at your job, in the marketplace, at the football game, whatever you're doing, you can operate in every single one of these. We're not talking about in the four walls of a church building. When I say the church, in the life of the church, I mean the people wherever they are. But these things are the Holy Spirit working through each one of us on behalf of others. But there's coming a day when we see God face to face, when we're in his presence, that these will no longer be necessary. Because we won't need other people to relate to us the activities and desires of the Holy Spirit and of the Godhead. He will make it known to us directly. Now, it's an oddity for sure. I don't understand why God has chosen this partnership now and then to see face to face, but he has. And that's the way the Lord has ordained it. That's just the world we live in. And so Paul is speaking of all of these things in reference to we have them now, just like when we were children, we thought childlike thoughts. And he's not saying that these things are silly or useless, kind of like a child would think useless thoughts or whatever. He's not saying that. He's saying that they're immature. They're incomplete. So these spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit has given us, they are powerful when we encounter them, but compared to how we will see God and how we will interact with him in eternity, they're immature and they're weak and they're childish by comparison to what it will be like when we are in eternity face to face. Now, I want to point out here that some people that don't believe that the spiritual gifts are still in use today, some of them will use this as a proof text to say, see, this is why they don't happen anymore. Most scholars, most people would not use this passage because Paul's being very clear that he's making a distinction between now, as in this age that we're in, and the age to come, the eternal age where we see God face to face, we're in his presence. He's making a very clear distinction there. Now, there are other passages, if you want to, you can use to try and justify believing that spiritual gifts don't happen anymore. Again, if you believe that, that's fine. I don't believe that way, but this isn't one of those passages. This is very clear where Paul is talking about the distinction between eternity and now, this age we're in here. So if you are a cessationist and you're having an argument with a non-cessationist, don't use this passage. I'll just warn you there. Don't use this one. Use some other ones, but don't use this one. And so with that aside, I find this very interesting because prophecy is going to go away. Tongues will go away. Words of knowledge, healing, all of these things will go away for eternity. They're here for but a short time. Now, what they'll be replaced with, I don't know. I don't know how eternity is going to work in that way. I mean, we're going to be around for billions and trillions of years. I mean, eternity, you turn the number 8 on its side and it becomes infinity. And that's what we're talking about here. That's a long time. And so I don't know what that's going to be like. None of us do. We don't have, the Lord hasn't given us a whole lot of information about that. I mean, when you consider how short this time is in comparison with eternity, and how little God has spoken about eternity compared to how much he's spoken about now, we don't know a whole lot about this coming age. But Paul is saying prophecy, all of these things are going to go away. They're here now for but a short time until Jesus returns. But they will be replaced with something, and it will be more than likely us being able to interact with God face to face, person to person. Again, I don't know exactly how that will work, but I know it will be better than what we have now. I have personally experienced prophetic words on many occasions. I've said this a couple times, but I started a YouTube channel a while back. If you go to, I'll put a link in the description for the podcast today, to that YouTube channel. But I like to tell some of those stories there. I don't often tell stories about that kind of stuff here on the podcast, because I like to maintain faithfulness to the scripture and the passage we're going through. And we don't always have a lot of time for me to get into personal stories. But I do like to tell those stories. And one of the things that I find, it's amazing when the Lord speaks and you realize he knows you and he sees you. It's powerful. It's amazing. But at the same time, it's messy. Sometimes there's confusion and there's delay and there's all of these things between when God speaks something and then when something happens, and there's so much trouble in discerning what's going on and what even when the Lord speaks clearly, it's kind of like, I know that I'm so dull that sometimes I still don't get it. God, you spoke this so clearly to me and I still don't get it. There was a time where a guy, a friend of mine, very prophetic, called me up and told me that I was going to have a meeting at 5:37 that day. And I argued with him and I told him it wasn't going to happen because I wasn't going to be at work. I was leaving. And lo and behold, I left. And then my boss called me back and told me I needed to get back, you know, let the reader understand, or my job's on the line. For this meeting, and I end up back at this meeting, and exactly what this guy told me happened exactly on the nose at 5:37. So that's one of those really specific things that's just crazy, out of this world, that the Lord knows you and sees you and speaks to you, and it happens quickly. But most of the time, when the Lord speaks a prophetic word or something like that, he doesn't say something's going to happen today at 5:37. Sometimes it's 10 years. Sometimes it's 20. In the case of Isaiah, he prophesied about Cyrus, who was going to shepherd his people Israel. It was over 150 years, if I'm not mistaken. I could be off a little bit on that. So you scholars, you can correct me if you will. But it was a long time. And there's a lot of confusion in between. I mean, Joseph had these powerful prophetic dreams, and there's, you know, somewhere around 25 years between when he tells his family these dreams he's had and when they show back up in Egypt. That's a long time to go through a lot of hardship based on prophetic words and these things that can feel powerful, and they're amazing in that the Lord is speaking to you, but there can also be so much confusion. So you start to get a picture why these things are not complete. They're not always the easiest things to bear, but they are powerful, and they do encourage us. They do encourage the church. Even the hardest things that I've had to walk through with prophetic stories and things like that, I wouldn't trade them for anything, because they're so powerful and so energizing. But they're not always easy. And so I do look forward to the day where we see fully and where we are fully known. But for now, I'll take these gifts in the lifeblood of the church. I'll take them because they are so powerful. And I would encourage you, seek the Lord, ask the Lord for them in your life, in your family's life, and in the church's life. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next week with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.